Hi, this is Mike McNamara, and you're listening to All Marine Radio on your home for it, the one and only All Warrior Radio Network.
Wednesday to you. Mike McNamara for a Wednesday edition of All Marine Radio, right here on your home for it. Chris Woodbridge, the editor and publisher of the Marine Corps Gazette, is going to join us today. So we'll talk to Woody about life and about things in the Marine Corps. I will tell you what, I think there's a story that hadn't been written that needs to be written about the impact of two decisions yesterday. And announced Monday, written about largely yesterday, and that is the decision to not only scrap the Bonhomme Richard, which was evidently set on fire by an arsonist. So we got that going for us. So what do you do with an arsonist that destroys an American asset to the tune of somewhere between, I would say, $3 and $5 billion? What do you do with that person? Do you say, oh, he or she was just confused at the time? Or do you lay the wood to him in a message to anybody that would ever contemplate doing this again? Is it worth your life? Because honestly, this is the situation the Marine Corps finds itself in this morning. And that is, the Marine Corps has fought for decades for amphibious shipping. The Commandant of the Marine Corps has a new plan, okay? The Burger Plan, if you will, his force design, okay? So one of the things he did was, the Marine Corps had been forever, had a number, 38 amphibs, and never moved off that. He moved off that. What did he get in return? I don't rightly know. Did he get a guarantee? Haven't seen it. So the significance of the Bonhomme Richard, it was that it was one of the transformed small decks, right? So if you read the history of World War II, we're fond of talking about the Battle of Samar. You know, that was a whole series of Jeep carriers. Okay, and they did a lot of heavy lifting in World War II. And what were they? Well, they were lighter, shorter, right? They weren't like the Enterprise, okay, Admiral Halsey's flagship, I think. And they were, you could produce them faster and cheaper, and they were all over the Pacific. And you could project real power from them. Well, that's what these were going to be. When you put the F-35 on top of an amphib, right, you had a different beast than the scarier flying off of an amphib. So you're looking at, you know, mini carrier battle groups centered around a dead of F-35s that can do incredible things. So that goes away. And so that's a huge loss to our ability to confront China with multiple problems simultaneously. Okay, so that's a huge loss for the United States military. It's a huge loss for the Navy, and a huger loss, dare I say, to the United States Marine Corps. Yeah, huger. I'm not sure that's a word, but I'm never opposed to adding to the to the vocabulary lexicon of the planet when I have the opportunity to. So, yeah, so it's a huger loss to the Marine Corps. Now, on the heels of that is a subsequent decision. So we're going to scrap, I got it, for a lot of different reasons, and they all make sense, right? This thing, to rebuild the Bon Homme Richard, they said is going to take between someplace, I want to say between 5 and 7 years. Like, what? Would take too much capacity of our from our shipyards. That capacity, the opportunity cost, here's another red flag, would have to be borne by delays in other ships being built, which tells you that our ability to surge industrial base relative to maritime platforms and shipping is not so much, which ought to raise a few eyebrows. Anyway, that's even a different discussion. All right, so I got it. I got why we're not going to rebuild the Bon Homme Richard. Okay, so second thing comes out, and we're not going to replace it. What? Yeah, we're not going to replace it, that big deck. We're not going to replace it. Crickets, 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 crickets. What? Yeah, so what direction are we watching the end of the amphibious Navy as we know it? The Navy finally got the Marine Corps to say, yeah, not so much 38 ships. We don't need it. We'll come off that, right? No guarantee of what's to come in the future. Now this catastrophe befalls us and what have you. Shrunken Marine Corps, amphibious platforms, no guarantee of what's to come in the future, and shrinking budgets. That's not a pretty picture. That's not a pretty picture. So, the scrapping of the Bon Homme Richard is only part of it. Not replacing it. Good Lord. And so is another one, which begs the question, so where does this all go, right? And so, anyway, we'll probably discuss that tomorrow. When the Mensa brothers join me. The another thing that was in the news yesterday was the LSD event at 2nd Marine Division. Now, again, I've been back and forth to 2nd Marine Division for the last couple of years, and that is not that was an open problem there. They knew they had a problem. And they've been trying to work on it. Now, what's interesting, the discussion I had with people yesterday, you know, well, LSD, like, are you kidding me? Like, what the hell? So let me just give you a pattern of insurrection for the inmates, all right? Those who want to do drugs, they have a pretty astute knowledge base for what the urinalysis tests for. And they always have. It's called the Lance Criminal Network. Yeah. And so the Lance Criminal Network is pretty efficient organized crime event. Yeah, it is. And And so when it's operational, which is 24/7, what the Lance Criminal Network does is it constantly finds ways for the criminal enterprise of those who would do such things to execute what they do by the sharing of information and other things. So, you know, so they have a good idea, if not a definitive idea, of what those urinalyses are searching for. And so over the course of time, what happens is you get a refined set of drugs that get used. When I was a company commander, a lot of Marines were doing medications that were used on animals because they weren't tested for. Yeah. You just said, what? Yeah. Animals. Like, hee-haw, hee-haw, animals like that? Yeah. And so I was talking to some of my Marines about this, and they were saying, yes, sir, we don't want to, like, rat anybody out because they're not in our unit or anything like that. But, yeah, these guys, one of their dads is a vet. And so that guy's got a brother that will go send him a package of stuff, none of which is, you know, none of which is screened for. And that's what they do. I was like, holy shit. But the animal medications aside, okay, that's not what I want to dwell on. It is the fact that whatever they're doing tends to be an attempt to get around the urinalysis. So the question becomes, what else isn't being tested for that they're taking? Now, I'm not a urinalysis expert, and I'm certainly not an expert on, you know, current urinalysis. But that's what this is. They find out what you don't test for, and then those are the drugs they buy. And so, I don't know. It's, to me, the issue here is not LSD. The issue is, who minds those tests? Who sees trends? And why aren't we testing for a broad spectrum of drugs? And you know what the answer is going to be? I know what the answer is going to be. The answer is going to be, oh, that costs more. Gotcha. Gotcha. So, yeah, that costs more. So that was the second big story yesterday that hit. And again, if you think that that's a problem in the Marine Corps, the publication of it will begin. In the Marine Corps. But as you head across the spectrum, you will find it in every service. So, yeah. And again, it gives you, you know, it gives you some sense of, it's always been a problem in the military. You know, people come in and whether they get disillusioned, you know, blah, 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 blah. You know, they become really the criminal element in the Marine Corps. And then the job of the military justice system is to get them out of the Marine Corps or the DOD as quick as you can. So not everybody comes. I think most people come in with the best intentions, but, you know, then life takes over, and it is what it is. I had a really interesting discussion with a couple people. A friend of mine who's a life coach yesterday, And I was talking about how I believe that that life coaches are really important, which she really liked to hear. But I think, and this seed got planted in my head last week when I was watching the movie The King's Speech. There's a scene in The King's Speech. And let me see if I can find it and play it, because everything's on the internet, right? The King's Speech. You're not a doctor. I have a voice. I don't think you know. Yeah, I can't. Let me see. Click on video. You don't stammer when you... I'm not a king. The rehearsal. This is audio from The King's Speech. And it's a movie about King George, the whatever, who ascends to the throne when his brother says, yeah, Wallace Simpson, I got to have her. King of England, not so much. I have to tell you this, after just watching the movie, that may not have been so much about his love for Wallace Simpson, but he didn't feel that he could be the King of England. Bit of a douchebag. Yeah. And so to me, it's described as this epic romance. I think he was a flawed guy, and he knew that he could not stand the scrutiny. His life could not stand the scrutiny of the of the spotlight that the King of England would have. So he said, yeah.
This holiday, get iPhone 12 on the 5G America's been waiting for.
I'm out of here. So, yeah, this holiday you can get the iPhone 12 on the America's 5G network that everybody's been waiting for, in case you don't know. But this is a scene where this speech therapist who's been this is Prince, I can't remember what his name even was. But his name isn't George. He chooses the name George when he becomes king. So the scene is his wife hears about this guy, is referred to the speech therapist. And she's been told he's really good. And he's got these rules, though. When you come in and I treat you, it's a level event. I'm not a... when you come into my office, and we will only meet here, that's his other thing. You know, will you come to the palace? Will you come to Buckingham Palace? No, I will not. He will come here. When he comes through this door, he's not a prince. He's just a person. And I'm just a person. I'm Lionel. He's, what's his name? And she tells him his name. So then he shows up, right? And this is the conversation they have. And this is, now mind you, to me, what resonates for me about this story and about coaching is that this is kind of the story of post-traumatic winning. I'm not a therapist, but I help people all the time. Okay, this guy, when the prince becomes the king, I want to say the Archbishop of Canterbury gets wind of it. And when they're talking about the coronation ceremony, the prince says, yes, this guy will be sitting in my family's box. And the archbishop says, no, that cannot happen. He says, it will happen. I want him sitting right there. Right? And I think when the king says shit like that, I'm not that like familiar with monarchy shit. I think that it rolls like that. But the Archbishop of Canterbury, very perturbed. And he says, well, Your Highness, blah, 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 blah. And he looks at me and goes, no. So it's like, ooh, he's acting like a king. What's up with that? So anyway, this arouses the ire of the archbishop, who then sicks the machinery on him. So they go and they crawl up this speech therapist's ass, and they find out he's not a credentialed PhD speech therapist. He gets his origin in helping guys who have come back from World War I. How about that? And then the Archbishop of Canterbury gives the information to the prince, who then has this, and that's the scene I'm looking for. And that's the scene I'm looking for where he says, "You're not really a speech therapist. You're not really a doctor." And then the therapist says, "No, I'm not. Here's how I got my start. Here's what I do, and it works." And so they transcend that, right? So he's essentially a speech coach. But he was being shit on because he wasn't. So I'm sympathetic to that because I get shit on. Because, oh, McNamara has no advanced degree. No, all he does is help people. So this is a little clip from that.
My own brother, I couldn't say a single word to him in reply.
You can hear him stammering, yes.
Why do you stammer so much more with David than you ever do with me?
Because you're bloody well paid to listen.
Bertie, I'm not a geisha girl.
Stop trying to be so bloody clever.
What is it about David that stops you speaking?
What is it about you that bloody well makes you want to go on about it the whole bloody time?
Vulgar but fluent. You don't stammer when you swear.
No, bugger off.
Is that the best you can do?
Well, bloody bugger to you, you beastly bastard.
Oh, a public school prig could do better than that.
Shit. Shit, 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 shit. Shit, 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 shit.
Yes.
Shit.
Defecation flows trippingly from the tongue.
Because I'm angry.
You know.
So he goes on this swearing tirade, which is hilarious, honestly, because, right, he's the prince, right? He's the prince. Now, it hasn't happened yet that his brother abdicated. He's just going to speech therapy.
The F word?
Fornication?
Oh, Bertie.
Fuck. Fuck! 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 Fucking fuck! Fuck! Fucking bugger! 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 Buggity! 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 Fuck! Fuck! Ass!
Yes!
Balls! Balls! Fucking
you see?
Shit!
Not a
shit,
hesitation.
Fucking Willy!
So what he points out to him is when you swear, you don't stammer. When you think, you don't stammer. And he takes him down this path that ultimately has him give the speech as England enters the war, and that's, you know, the King's speech. Kind of, right, dual meaning there, right? His speech pattern, and then this incredible speech that he gives to the entire United Kingdom, right, broadcast around the world, as England went to war to confront Germany.
Shit and fuck and tits.
What's going on?
Sorry.
That's the therapist, kids. Like, Dad, what's going on in there?
Just finish your homework.
Well, that's a side of you we don't get to see all that often.
No, we're not supposed to, really. Not publicly.
How funny, right? No, if you haven't watched the movie, it's an awesome movie, but I was talking to somebody who's a coach, and I said, you know, in my opinion, you know, if 95% of the population doesn't have a serious mental illness, then most people, I would tell you, don't need a therapist. They need a coach, right? They need a coach, somebody they respect, somebody, you know, who can teach them how to get through difficult places in life. So I had a very interesting conversation with her about that. And then also I was on the phone yesterday with leaders of the 3rd Marine Aircraft Wing down at Miramar. So get a chance to go speak to them in a couple weeks. So I'm excited about that. You know, especially, you know, to be able to speak to the leaders of that organization about, you know, what post-traumatic winning does and what it can do for the organization. But most importantly, their role in sustaining it and facilitating it. Interesting conversation about, you know, the Marine Corps has these force preservation boards, and you identify people that are at risk. And, you know, this board takes a look at them, and you have the medical doctor, the chaplain, and then you have various people from the battalion. And, you know, in a trying to make a determination, because I sat on one in my life, and trying to make a determination if people are fit to continue service. And I would say my experience is that you have way too many forest preservation boards, councils, whatever they're called these days, that err on the side of keeping Marines in the Marine Corps when clearly they don't belong for a variety of reasons. And so I think a lot of people struggle with, well, we're turning our back on this guy, or we're turning our back on this girl. And you know, to me, you have to reframe that in your head as a leader. And you have to think of, okay, what's the best place for this person right now? And we have a moral responsibility to get them to the best place. Is it at home with their family being treated by the VA for these issues? Or is it something that in the short term, less than 12 months, that we can go ahead and we believe we have a, you know, 90% plus probability of bringing this person back to a full duty status that's deployable, that can operate under stress? And I think when you apply that litmus test, I used to listen to these things, and so you have a file on somebody and they read you the background, right? These are our most at-risk people in this unit, right? She's been raped twice, comes from a family that had this, 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 and this, right? She lives out in town. She has financial problems, blah, blah. And you sit there and listen, and you're like, we're going to get that person up. This person's going to be deployable anytime soon? And the answer is no, they're not. And so it was interesting for me when I first got there. I was like Dr. Evil, right? And I'd look around and I'd say, okay, wait a minute. Who believes that she's going to be deployable anytime soon? And it was just silent. I said, she's not. And the pressure that goes with being a Marine adds to her issues. And we're not the organization to solve those issues. That's not us. That's not what we do. And so very interesting conversations about this kind of stuff. So to me, when you talk about an environment a unit creates, one, you have to have an eye for, you know, might this person, you know, have joined with all the best intentions, but clearly they are not in a position to contribute to the national defense. Hell, they're hardly in a position to contribute to their own defense, truth be told. And what do we foresee in 12 months? An improvement to be deployable? No, we do not. All right, then it's time to say goodbye. Right? It's time to say goodbye. And, you know, and make sure that they get the care they need locally so that they can have a great life. You know, hopefully that's in the care and supervision of a family that loves them. If not, in the at the VA. So interesting discussions about stuff like that. And then the other thing is, you know, if you're gonna be a leader, the first task is you got to know who you're leading. And I think that continues to be a challenge across the board. I think it's a challenge in terms of the institution. Who do you lead? I don't think most generals have an idea. I don't. Marine Corps does not collect that data, and I don't think they have any idea of how much the pre-existing conditions the people walk through the door with. Yeah. So, interesting conversations yesterday in my life. Yeah. I also went to Target last night. Yeah, did some shopping. So, just in case you're interested, I did that too. So, good morning to you on this Wednesday. Chris Woodbridge going to join us. I got some interesting email about our conversation yesterday. Grant Newsham pretty critical of the former Secretary of Defense, Jim Mattis. And I would tell you animatedly so. And Grant and I had never talked about it. I just teed it up in the middle of the interview when somebody sent an email about, you know, about Grant, did you see you know, General Mattis's op-ed that he wrote. What'd you think? Man, he teed that thing up. Yeah. And he said, look, where is the proof? Where is the proof of that which you contend? And he essentially echoed me when I said a week ago when it came out, the audio and the video don't sync up. Like, America first means America alone. Well, in spite of the president's wire brush of a bedside manner, we're not alone in Europe. Haven't seen that. I see more people in NATO, right? I see more people in NATO paying a greater share. I see NATO moving further east. I see NATO saying we need to do more to confront China. I see NATO concerned about Afghanistan. I don't see what Secretary Mattis, former Secretary Mattis is talking about, General Mattis is talking about. If I look to the Pacific, I see more of that. And so Grant goes off. And he said, and he said to me, show me the proof. You know, you have, 850 words or whatever you're going to write in this op-ed. You know, where is the proof of that which you say? And Grant's criticism, if once again, it's, Donald Trump, is evil. Well, if you look at our posture around the world, it's significantly better after 4 years than it was when Barack Obama left office. I don't think anybody would doubt that. And again, what they would be critical of is the president's bedside manner. So, I got emails. Whoa, Mac. Right? Getting after General Mattis, better be careful. And my response is, wait a minute. The sun doesn't rise and set in Jim Mattis's ass. Okay? And he would be the first one to tell you that. You know the thing that he really hates? Is people that are afraid to disagree with him. He hates that because he knows he's in a room of people that don't believe they're intellectually equal to him. And so he knows it's just going to be a series of bobbleheads and blah, blah, blah. But, he doesn't find that interesting. Right. He's an inquisitive learner, and he likes intellectual discourse. So, the whole bobblehead thing, save it for another day, man. It's, the same thing with the Commandant's Force Design thing and the thing with the Bonhomme Richard. The Marine Corps has officially come off its requirement for 38 amphibs or 37 amphibs, whatever the hell it was, and got what? I haven't seen what it's going to be. I haven't seen a document that outlines the funding and the commitment from the Navy, blah, 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 blah. And now we just crossed the Bonhomme Richard on it and found out that, we're not going to add anything back to that. So where does that leave us? Do we need less F-35s because we're going to have less big decks to put them on? That we can save some money right there. But the whole thing is to have a respectful discussion. And nobody's bad-mouthing General Mattis. I think we all respect him. But let me tell you, when he authors something where the video doesn't match the audio, then... what do? You're going to sit there and say, oh, yeah, General Mattis, he's the greatest. No, you're supposed to be honest about it, which Grant was. So if you haven't listened to it, give that a listen. Because, again, Grant, he spends his life in the Western Pacific. That's what he does. So anyway, we'll check the news here in a minute. The United States Marine Corps band makes this morning official. Good morning to you. And this is dedicated to Grant Newsham. That guy has taught me so much. That guy's taught me so much about the Western Pacific that I did not know. And I dare say for a lot of people that listen to this program, he's taught them the same. And so, I mean, I love his frankness. And then for everybody who's afraid to criticize, whether it be, you know, General Mattis or General Kelly, let me tell you, they are the first people to be critical of each other and to scoff at people who are afraid to be critical. So again, you know, the question is, can you be articulate, you know, with your criticism, or does it have to descend into, you know, name calling and stupidity? And I don't think it does. You can take an opposing view to somebody, and I think it makes for, it's what I love about doing this, the whole process of discovery, intellectual discovery, and articulate discourse. So this is dedicated to Grant, who consistently adds to that on this program. Thank you, Grant.
You're betraying your whole life if you don't say what you think, and you don't say it honestly and bluntly.
What keeps you awake at night?
Nothing. I keep other people awake at night.
For this campus had prepared him well. I'm very confident that, thank you very much. If this was vodka, it'd be a lot better speech. But I'm not supposed to glamorize alcohol anymore, so young folks, you ignore what I just said.
We just have to execute. And we are executing every day, and Sergeant Major and I are very proud of what you do. Doesn't mean we can't get better. We don't want to make a mistake to learn. We don't want to lose to learn. We cannot lose if we have to go fight. We got to do what these Marines did here 75 years ago. Persevere against difficult, challenging conditions and odds and win. You got to win.
Time for us to check the weather. The King's Speech. Watch it. Yeah, the scene I was looking for, I'll find it. No, I need to. But the scene I was looking for is their confrontation after, you know, the Archduke of Canterbury says, yeah, he's not a therapist. And the king says, yeah, you know. And then the guy puts it right back in his face. Oh, yeah, you're right. And I've never held myself out as such, if you notice my title. And then now the king looks at him. And he says, my origins are teaching speech to Australian veterans returning from the war. Because he's an Australian guy. That's how I started. So it's interesting. All right. Currently in Quantico, sunny and 47. Is that right? That can't be right. Let me update my temperatures here. Stand by. Currently sunny and 47 in Quantico. I guess it was. Camp Lejeune, sunny and 44. So cold on the East Coast. 29 Palms, sunny and 55. Marine Corps Base Camp Pendleton, sun and 57. Camp Smith, clear, dark and 64. Okinawa, dark, cloudy and 69. And then down under in Darwin, dark, cloudy and 79 in Norway, Oslo type. It is cloudy, raining and 36 degrees. At the home of All Marine Radio, it is partly sunny and 54 degrees. Looking for a high today all the way up to 72, 76 tomorrow, 71 on Friday, 69 on Saturday, 71 on Sunday. That's why we call it California, right? Because it's not North Dakota. That's right. All right. We'll take a break. We'll check the news next. More of All Marine Radio coming up. Don't touch your dial.
We used to get together every week. She's been home from her last deployment for months now, and I haven't seen her once.
He's just been different since he got back from Iraq. One minute he's ready to go, and the next he doesn't want anyone around.
The nightmares are back and seem to be getting worse. Shouldn't he be sleeping better after all these years?
A lot of people don't understand what veterans go through during their service or when they come back. And that's okay.
But everyone can help.
You can make a difference in the life of a veteran.
You stood by us when we were in uniform, so stand by us now.
Like my brother did, and he wouldn't take no for an answer.
Like my wife did when she asked the right questions.
Like my friend did when she made the call.
Take a stand for those who served our country.
If you're a veteran in crisis or know one who is, the Confidential Veterans Crisis Line is here for you. Call 1-800-273-8255 and press 1. Chat at veteranscrisisline.net or text 838-255.
America's service members and veterans are strong, forged out of bravery, sacrifice, and duty. They are diverse, unique, from all corners of the country, and thanks to their common experience, a family for life. But whether they served in lands far away or communities close to home, some of these men and women may face difficult times or even crisis, but sometimes reaching out for help can be the most challenging and worthwhile mission of all for veterans, service members, Reserve, and National Guard. Thankfully, friends, family, and communities are standing by their service members and veterans now more than ever. We're all in this together. When you recognize something isn't right, make the call to the Veterans Crisis Line or Military Crisis Line. During times of crisis, reach out and call. Dial 1-800-273-8255 and press 1 or chat online at veteranscrisisline.net or text 838-255.
Hi, I'm Gary Sinise. Our veterans put everything on the line to protect our freedom. We may never be able to repay them for their sacrifice, but we can show them just how much we appreciate all they've done. You can help by simply sharing your time, lending a warm smile, a supportive hand, or a sympathetic ear to someone who needs it. Everyone can do something to make veterans know just how much we appreciate their service. Please visit www.volunteer.va.gov. What will you do?
We all share a common journey. We wanted to serve our country, stand for something bigger than ourselves, and protect the things we love. Although we were ready to face any mission, help those in need, and make a difference, for some of us, coming home was more of a challenge than we expected. In the service, we had each other's backs. But as veterans, it can sometimes feel like we're all alone, even when surrounded by our loved ones.
If you're a veteran or service member in crisis, or know one who is, call 1-800-273-8255 and press 1. Chat at veteranscrisisline.net or text 838-255.
America's injured and critically ill service members face incredible challenges every day of their lives. Since 2004, the Semper Fi Fund has helped thousands of service members and their families with both immediate and long-term needs. Join the Semper Fi Fund in supporting American heroes. They've given so much. Now it's our turn. Learn how your tax-deductible donation makes a real difference in their lives at SemperFiFund.org.
Hi, I'm Colleen McNamara, and you're listening to My Dad on All Marine Radio on the All Warrior Radio Network.
All right, to the news we go, and Chris Woodbridge will join us in about 15 minutes. Top stories in Stars and Stripes today. Trump threatens defense bill veto over social media protection. So this is the president taking aim at Section 230, which you've no doubt heard about. And that is the section that gives a social media company the power to do what they do and not be sued. So they are considered a platform like old AT&T. AT&T was not held liable for what you transmitted through their lines, as they were simply provided a service. Well, there's a pretty decent debate in this country about what social media does. The algorithm that they use to send you to certain content and not to other content, right? The way they seem to, I would say, censor exclusively conservatives, and that throughout the run-up, anything that you could write about the president never got tagged for anything. And so to me, I think if you're anywhere close to being objective, I think you know it's a problem. So the question is, what do you do about it? Well, the president, as now as in his looming lame duck status, has taken aim, and he's threatened to veto the defense, the National Defense Authorization Act, the NDAA, unless Section 230 of the 1996 Communications Decency Act is amended. So that is in the news. And then other than that, not so much in the news that I would tell you is important. From the Wall Street Journal, top headline, the United Kingdom becomes the first country to approve the Pfizer COVID vaccine. So that is in the news today. And then, this is an interesting story that I have not read yet, but Grant Newsham spoke about this yesterday. And here's the headline. China has one powerful friend left in the United States, Wall Street. So Wall Street can't get to China quick enough because Wall Street, right, is a whore to profits. So why not, right? Oh, you mean all the other shit they do? Well, how does that affect us? We can get bigger returns in China, so we don't give a fuck about that. Right? Interesting editorial board. Trump's fraud claims hit a bar. Now, for all the William Barr had, a lot of detractors, right? He stands up yesterday and says, yeah, here at the Justice Department, we have seen no credible evidence of fraud to investigate. So that in the news yesterday. Wall Street Journal, that's why I say you should subscribe. A couple of stories out of U.S. Naval Institute news. One is the White House plans to nominate Pacific Fleet commanding officer to lead U.S. Joint Force in the Pacific. U.S. Pacific Fleet commander, and I believe that's Indo-Pacific Fleet commander, John Aquino, is slated to be nominated to serve as the next chief of U.S. Indo-PACOM. Oh, maybe it's not. A U.S. official confirmed to USNI News that the Trump administration is putting Aquino's name forward for the position, currently filled by Admiral Phil Davidson. And Davidson assumed that role when Indo-PACOM stood up. So that is in the news this morning. And you, those names, Davidson, Aquino, have been prominent in the news since the collisions of the McCain and the Fitzgerald. They have been names that you've seen consistently associated with those investigations. So, and the ongoing saga that is the Pacific Fleet. Next headline, last piece of the CH-43 Kilo, the new expensive heavy lift helicopter for the Marine Corps. The last piece of the training triad has been declared ready for training. So, congratulations. The composite maintenance trainer just recently reached RFT, whatever the hell that means. The composite maintenance trainer is, quote, a full-scale mock-up of the aircraft and is the final step of familiarizing the maintainer with the aircraft. The device allows students to interact with the physical controls of the aircraft to learn to remove and install hardware, perform functional checks. So, right, all the different systems been put in place for the CH-53 Kilo. That is the remaining one. Some headlines from Marine Corps Times. Story, we have a drug problem. LSD now part of the random drug screening for the 2nd Marine Division. Let me tell you, it is not a North Carolina problem. Okay, let me see if there's any interesting quotes in here. Marines abusing drugs is unfortunately not new, according to division spokesman First Lieutenant Dan Infante. Quote, what's new here is that the 2nd Marine Division is now testing specifically for LSD along with many other substances we've long tested for, both randomly and in every other possible way. We are committed to identifying violators of our ethos, said Major General Donovan, who's now the CG. The vast majority of Marines within the division routinely uphold our core values, and they deserve to know that the Marines to their left and the right are doing the same thing. And then the article, right, says this. In April of 2019, Major General David J. Furness, then the commander of the 2nd Marine Division, sent out a policy letter detailing a basic daily routine every Marine in the division was to follow, citing a significant decline in discipline. Quote, we have allowed Marines and sailors to walk around with long hair, non-existent or poor shaves, unserviceable boots and utilities, and improper civilian attire, the letter read. There are weeds growing around our buildings and our workspaces and trash everywhere, but the dumpsters where it belongs. A general lack of attention to detail and corrective action by peers and leaders results in lower discipline and destroys the foundation on which the Marine Corps was built. Ironclad discipline. L'Infante said Tuesday that the change was not due to any serious decline in discipline in the division, but rather a small number of incidents still under investigation. In September of 2019, Lance Corporal Christian Gray was arrested along with 19-year-old Alexa Seeley and charged with felony trafficking of LSD for sale, right, in North Carolina. Gray was assigned to Headquarters Company, 2nd Marine Regiment, 2nd Marine Division. Zero tolerance means zero tolerance. So, LSD. Again, and all you just start flipping over the rocks. Just start flipping over the rocks, and you'll find what you will find, and it is not going to be pretty. Now, Jeff Zuzulowitz, who I'm a big fan of, right, wrote an article about the Bonhomme Richard yesterday. And it's in Marine Corps Times. The Bonhomme Richard was one of four large deck amphibs to have received the F-35B upgrade, and its loss will likely muck up a deployment model that involves having four such ships at various stages of readiness, two on each coast. The amphibious Boxer is now slated to receive the F-35 upgrades the Navy announced earlier this year. Quote, only half of the Navy's 10 amphibs will be able to carry the F-35 Bravo, and the Marines are looking to reduce their land-based squadrons, said Brian Clark, a retired submarine officer and a fellow at the Hudson Institute. So the loss of the Bonhomme Richard will impact the Navy's ability to provide combatant commanders sea-based F-35s not subject to host nation approval. So does that make sense? So since you don't have host nations out there, maybe the Philippines right now, Vietnam, are not willing to allow us to build bases there, right? The loss of the Bonhomme Richard is a significant loss in capability, right, for the United States Navy and the ability of the nation to project power. Another headline. Marine Corps reduces annual training by cutting these requirements. The Marine Corps will no longer conduct an annual training class asking Marines to quit smoking or dipping. In fact, several annual training requirements have been consolidated or eliminated to enable commanders to focus on events that generate warfighting readiness, according to an admin message published this past Thursday. Yeah, if this is a cut, that class is less than 30 minutes. And a lot of places, these classes are simply click-through things that Marines do on their own time. Okay, everybody's got to get in front of a computer, and you got to click through the smoking, you know, cessation class. Oh, shit. And you know, and they sit in their rooms, and they shoot the shit, and they click, 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 click. Hey, what's the answer to four? No, click, right? That's how they do it. It's funny, you talk to Marines, like all this training they're supposed to do. But what you're able to do when you're able to track it, then you're able to report to a senator, yes, senator, all the Marines have seen this. And so it's a drill, right, for data people. Is it doing what it's supposed to do? No. No. What else? Tobacco cessation training, along with training on social media, right, which is what Marines United fallout, combating human trafficking, and violence prevention awareness all have been eliminated from the annual training requirement, according to the MAR admin. To make the decision on which training events to cut and which to consolidate, the Marine Corps split annual training into core and non-core requirements. Core requirements directly support warfighting. Non-core requirements do not. So, yeah, that in the news. Top five stories in Early Bird, then we'll take a break, and then we'll get Chris Woodbridge on. Number one, defense bill snagged in Trump's war on social media protections. At some point, Congress, it might not be with the National Defense Authorization Act, quite rightly should take that up. You know, social media companies have become some of the wealthiest, you know, companies on the planet. And and I think as a conservative, when you see it seems to be the one-sided way that they label things that don't pass their sniff test, it seems to consistently lean right. It's like their left nostril is blocked. And so to me, it's I think it's disturbing, and it ought to be looked at, right? Let me just tell you the same thing. When 92% of the world's searches go through one company, Amazon, Google, I would tell you that's a problem. Their ability to manipulate the market, the anti-competitive, you know, forces that they could unleash, that's all big stuff. So to me, somehow or other, that's got to be broken up. Amazon's lock on you know, American retail. Somebody at some point has to look at that and say, you know what? You know, the world changed as we went to this a digital age. And there are certain companies that have, you know, like Standard Oil, need to be broken up, right? Like one telephone company for the whole country need to be broken up. So I think we're at that point now. So, but we'll see if our political leadership, and forgive me for using the political people in charge. I hate to use the word leader associated with politics. Their ability to do something correct is lacking clearly. So hopefully we can all say a prayer that maybe, right, the sun will shine on that dog's ass and they might do the right thing. But don't get your hopes up. Number three, Trump administration launches rewards program targeting North Korea and China. Yesterday they announced a $5 million reward program for tips on sanction-busting activities that allow North Korea to continue developing nuclear weapons and accuse China of facilitating that illicit trade, you know, which everybody knows they do. So $5 million, how do they do it? Rendezvous at sea? How do they do this stuff? So interesting. Number four, Pacific Fleet Commander will be nominated to lead Indo-Pacific Command. I was under the impression that Pacific Fleet became Indo-PACOM. But that's wrong. So we talked about that. Oversight panel slams the Pentagon for a $700 million loan to a troubled shipping company. Well, let me tell you, when we can't repair the Bonhomme Richard because we don't have enough shipping construction infrastructure in the nation to accommodate that, and if we repair the Bonhomme Richard, it's going to crush the construction of other ships because there simply isn't any surge capacity, that's a problem. So I'm not as critical of the Pentagon. Now, I don't know any of the details. Maybe they screwed up the details, but I'm sympathetic to the sentiment of the Pentagon. That's no bullshit capability. So with all that said, we'll take a break. Chris Woodbridge will join us. We'll talk about the Marine Corps Gazette coming up next on a Wednesday edition of All Marine Radio, right here on your home for it, the All Warrior Radio Network. So whatever you do, do not touch that dial.